going on, right? Where I don't, this is all for fun and games. I mean, I take it seriously, but it's fun and games at the end of the day. I mean, I have this job, I have other jobs, I have real income, you know? I don't have to do this. You know, I could stop tomorrow and I'll be fine. I do it because I enjoy it. I enjoy the breakdown, the pursuit, sniping out a number that moves. Like, I enjoy that, right?
Yeah.
But it's not something that, like, I'm not up betting table tennis, you know, at midnight. I mean, I've never done that. I'll never do that, you know? It's going to be about the things that I believe, whether I'm right or wrong, you know, that I have an edge in or could have an edge in.
Well, you won't be able to bet Caitlin anymore this year, so I'm sorry about that.
See?
I know you were in WNBA while a little while.
While you were gone, I don't remember what week it was, I brought up her absence, and I said, this is very weird. And now we see. She is out for the season with a mysterious injury.
Yeah, I mean, it's been tough for her and Angel this year.
I don't know why you would bring Angel into this.
Well, we just had a tough situation.
We're just talking about Caitlin.
I do it because it's the two.
There's not the two.
And for year two, for both of them, it's been an absolute struggle.
Well, Angel called her teammates.
That's why I'm bringing her up. We had a bad moment, and we threw our team under the bus.
And they won the next game.
They responded.
But, like, how?
Now, she's putting up numbers.
So she is. But I'm saying,
if you can't be throwing your teammates under the bus.
If you call me out, I ain't coming to work tomorrow. Right.
Well, it depends on how you handled it. And apparently her apology to them, they felt like was real enough.
Yeah.
But she absolutely mishandled that.
But yeah, I mean, Caitlin's out for the year. Angel never was relevant this season. I mean,
her team's not relevant. She's continues to be the queen of double-doubles.
I mean, you got, you know, basically it's the Lynx, the Aces. You know, those are the teams this year.
But we showed some immaturity. I have to be accountable for I'm a fan, but we're also going to be accountable, keep it real around here. Just a lack of maturity, throwing our team under the bus. You're like, something's got to, you know, I'm basically carrying this thing, these girls. Yep. Something's got to change around here or I'm out.
Yep.
We can't do that. Angel can't do that.
The Aces, by the way, have not lost since August the 2nd. They have won like 15 in a row. I mean, it's unbelievable. 1, 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12. They've won 13 straight games, bro. The Lynx. I mean, excuse me, the Aces.
Mm-hmm.
And they just beat the Lynx last night, 97-87.
Yeah, they're going to win championship.
Asia Wilson had 31 for you. They have to figure something out. I'll tell you what, man. I mean, because they got blitzed by the Lynx on August the 2nd. They lost by like 30.
Mm-hmm.
And they've won every game since.
Yeah.
It's pretty amazing what they're doing.
It was a wake-up call.
Yeah. But there will be no Caitlin this year in the finals. We'll have to wait till next year.
Just had the shoe out, right?
I think
unfortunate.
So. Yeah, unveil the logo, but
you know who's killing those little Paige.
Yeah, she had 27.
She's a highlight machine.
She is.
Every time I see her on these scrolling for Instagram or something, she's got some highlight reel she's done.
Yep, absolutely. All right, we'll come back. Parth Upadhyay is going to join us at 1:25. We'll talk to him about Memphis basketball and more. Stick around. Jason and John, are you trying to find me? ESPN. Black Tie Movement has changed the mood in the city of Memphis. They're the best. 316-6196 is the phone number. You know, you want professionalism. You want people that are going to show up when they say they're going to show up. You don't want to have to worry about any of that. You want a red carpet black tie experience, and that's what they're going to give you from Black Tie Moving. I've used them twice. I can speak to it directly. You're going to get a good price. You're going to get quality work and professionalism. Call them. 316-6196 is the number. Black Tie Moving. They're changing moving in the city of Memphis. Parth Upadhyay will join us at 1:25. We'll talk to him about Memphis basketball and more. Got some college football games this weekend, Jason.
Yes.
Jason. You know, it kind of is a bit of a depressing slate when you're coming down from last week.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing compares. Who was that?
Prince. And,
Sinead O'Connor.
Sinead O'Connor, that's right.
But it was Prince before. Never forget that.
That's right. He wrote it.
How did it go? Nothing compares to you. What was the tune, though? How did it sound? Can you give us a little bit?
Heck, what do you think I am, dude?
I just want you to give me some karaoke.
I'm not going to do that.
I'm just trying to remember.
Nothing compares to you.
Is that how it went?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, I'm not singing it, but that's the melody.
No, you're definitely not giving me that.
I'm not going
to. I guess I'm going to have to pay for a concert.
Grown man. I'm not singing.
This would not be your karaoke
choice. And then y'all start out like a Sinead O'Connor song.
That's isn't it? Isn't that?
That's like a mixed version. Do the one with him and Rosie O'Donnell.
Rosie O'Donnell?
Yeah, she sings the female part of it.
Anyway, I don't remember. I don't remember how it goes. Anyway, nothing compares to that week one. We had so many ranked matchups. We had so many standalone games.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, Jason is not going to give us the performance. And that's fine. We'll have to
adjust. I can't sing like Prince. I don't want to ruin it.
That's true. Nobody can sing like Prince.
It's not going to come close.
However, we do still have some intriguing games that are relevant here in Memphis as well. You obviously have Memphis, Georgia State. That would be number one on the list in terms of entertainment value. Sounds like they are expecting TJ Finley to play at least some. Nobody knows that for sure, but that's the speculation.
Just joined the roster on Monday.
That's right.
September 1st.
So you have that. Ranked matchups, as far as those go, you have Michigan-Oklahoma. That's tomorrow at 6:30. SEC-Big Ten tilt. Any interest?
Yeah.
I mean, it's ranked. Two mid-ish top 25 teams.
Yeah.
So you have that one. You've got Florida versus South Florida.
That's very interesting to
yeah.
me.
Yeah, because you're
I was locked in for that entire South Florida performance against Boise State.
And will you be able to say the same for Florida, South Florida? That's tomorrow at 3:15?
I'm going to tell you this, and maybe it's me being square. I'm known to do it. But Jeffrey is very confident that Florida's going to cover the number this week against South Florida.
Yep.
What is it, 18 something?
17.5, 18, yeah.
I am not. I thought South Florida has some dogs on defense.
Interesting.
And Jeffrey is off to a fire-hot start in college football.
Don't fade Jeffrey
And so
right
that's
now.
Why I'm bringing this up. I mean, his eye so far has been dead on. And so from that I think South Florida might have some dogs and stay in this game. But that's one of the reasons I'll be watching. Listen, I still think there's a chance that if South Florida lost to both Florida and Miami, remember, they have the win over Boise State, but then went on to run the AAC, that they could still get in the college football playoff, that you would take that team, which still beat Boise State, lost to two ranked teams in Florida and Miami, but you would still take them over an undefeated CUSA champ or whatever else.
Yep.
And so South Florida is really an interesting team here in terms of you know, what they're going to do these next two games. Losses might not matter.
Right. Right. No, I mean, there are some people out there who believe that the final against Boise was misleading. That it wasn't quite as the blowout that it looked to be. But I hear you. I mean, I don't know how you lay 17.5, 18 with Florida. I don't know.
That looked real to me with South Florida. Yeah, I'm not telling you they're gonna
win. Because like USF, it just depends on what you want to believe, right? Like last year, they played Miami and got absolutely outclassed. It was embarrassing.
Yeah. That one ain't this week. This week's Florida. Miami's later.
And
right.
Right. But I'm just saying that level, right?
Yes.
That level
of competition. Yes. Yes.
But 2 years ago against Nick Saban, you know, they competed for the entirety of the game. I mean, they were right there at the end. I think they. I don't remember what the final score. What the final score was? It wasn't last year. It was 2023. 17-3. So, you know, they would have covered this number. So it just depends on, you know, what version of, you know, South Florida do you believe? It sounds like you believe in the Boise State version of them.
I believe in South Florida and its chances to cover the number against Florida. I do not believe in them. Florida, I like Lagway or whatever else, but let's not act like they're some high-operating, high-functioning team.
Totally
Napier
right.
was on the hot seat for a while there.
Totally right.
Got it back, okay, but that's not a deal where all of a sudden we believe in them as a contender in the SEC.
Totally right.
Miami, different story.
Yeah.
That's a team that just showed us again and knocking off Notre Dame. They're at a different level, it feels like, in terms of being possibly a
Agreed.
National title contender.
Agreed.
So my interest is really in this one and whether or not they can keep it close to Florida. I don't think they will. I do think it's another level with Miami. I agree. It's a different level with an SEC team, but this ain't a top-of-the-line SEC team here in Florida.
Yeah, so, no, I think that's very true.
Anyway, it could end up being, again, Jeffrey's been red hot.
Yeah.
He's probably going to be right again on this one, but
yeah.
Whether South Florida comes through this banged up,
uh-huh.
Byron Brown staying healthy, all that's going to matter. They could ruin the AAC. It could ruin our chances.
Absolutely. There's no doubt about that. And again, big underdogs, but.
But they've given you a leg up. Like they've helped you in terms of beating Boise State.
Yep.
But they could also come back and ruin you.
Yep.
So very interested in how that game comes out.
A couple others we can go through here. Ole Miss at Kentucky looking to get some revenge from last year.
Right.
And
I expect that to happen, don't you?
Yeah, because I just think Kentucky's bad. I don't know what the margin will be. I don't know how much of a blowout it will be. But, a home dog, you know, it opened 9.5, 10. Now it's down to 8.5. You know, there is quite a bit of money coming in on Kentucky thinking that they'll make a big stand here and keep it competitive. I mean, we don't know anything about this quarterback for Ole Miss, Simmons. Like, it's his first road start in the SEC. Who knows? I mean, it could be a mess. I think they win just because, you know, Lane Kiffin, I think, is a really good coach. in that league. So
you what got, about Mississippi State covering the number against Arizona State?
I think that's the right side. I do.
Okay.
Because it's
at home.
You know, yeah, it's exactly right. I mean, I it's kind of amazing that the game is being played, in my view. But
I'd ask Brad if he was going earlier in the week, but he said those tickets, I think, are accounted for.
I think I'm going to ZZ Top.
Okay.
Oh, ZZ Top.
Yeah.
That's Saturday?
My brother-in-law's got the tickets for State. And it's funny, this game has been weird if you've been watching the stuff coming out of camp at ASU, because they got the cowbells ringing in their camp and they're like talking, making fun of the hucksters from Mississippi who have casino hotels and we had to stay an hour and a half away. It's dicier than I thought it would get.
Yeah, for sure.
Have you guys seen this stuff?
I haven't seen that.
Sound like they're prepping.
Yeah, like it seems like they're going to have a full house. It's a night game, dark out. They're wearing all black, you know. So this is a sneaky, interesting one. And I think
it's very interesting
as
actually.
As a State fan, like, if you win it, you change the whole perception of a lot of the way that guys like me think about you right now.
Mm-hmm.
If you lose it, we're all sort of like, yeah, it's of course you lost, you know.
Yeah.
Am I right?
No, I mean, I think it's a free swing.
Yeah, it's a free swing.
Because, like, obviously the expectations are extremely low regardless. But
very low, floor.
I thought, you know, they showed some pretty decent stuff against Southern Miss, and you know, that maybe the quarterback being healthy is a key difference maker there. So
Chapin, is that the quarterback? Yeah,
gettable as well.
Yeah, they do seem that way, Jason.
Well, I mean, they're, you know, I mean, I think they kind of went last year with Scataboo, right? Like he was like the entire offense. Now I do know Levin and Tyson are a hell of a 1-2 there.
Yeah.
But you know, you're talking about coming into an SEC, you know, road game, you know, laying 6.5. Not saying that it's not justified. Obviously, it's not going to be that wrong because, you know, nobody misses stuff like this. But it's like, come on, man, I'm going to take the 6.5 with the SEC team at home.
Yeah.
Against a, you know, a good, not great Arizona team. Arizona State team. So
yeah, I don't. I mean, did they run Northern Arizona off the field last week?
They did not.
They feel gettable, and at least in terms of covering the number for Mississippi State.
I mean, they allowed 19 to Northern Arizona, bro. Like,
yeah, at one point it was 24-13 in that game, and it was still up, you know, sort of in the balance there.
That's an FCS team, right?
Before they put them away.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
So slow start. I just think they're gettable. So.
I mean, it is possible. I do think Dillingham is like sneaky, really good in these kinds of games.
I don't know in these kinds of games.
Yeah, I think he'll have that team very much prepared to play.
I was going to say, I don't think anything about him sneak anymore. The word's out on how good he is.
It's amazing how many great coaches have come through here, if you sit down and think about it.
Lanning and Dillingham.
Well. I feel like there are some other guys on staff through the years. You know, that. I mean, Silverfield was on Norvell's staff. He's a head coach now. I mean, Norvell's coaching tree is quite something. Because you got three, right? He's got Lanning, because Silverfield counts, and Dillingham.
Yeah,
so
Silverfield's been a real winner.
Well,
you're right.
Won
He's
11
on
games.
The tree.
He won 11 games.
Well, 21 in the last 2 years, as you know.
Yeah. I mean, people were saying that Mike Norvell had he was the most influential coach in college football last year in the playoff, and you know, because he had Lanning, he had Dillingham. He had the Ohio State running backs coach.
Didn't know that.
Lachlan.
Didn't he have Lembo, too? Did he have Lembo?
Was it Lembo with a playoff team last year?
I don't know.
I don't remember. I don't think so.
Buffalo,
he was at Buffalo
now.
Yeah, so he wouldn't have been a coordinator for anybody. But he apparently has quite the coaching tree. So, anyway, weird that he only won 2 games last year. But it's not shocking that he, you know, given how good of a coach he is, that he would beat Alabama like that.
Well, don't be putting Gus Malzahn, whatever his next job is, on Mike Norvell's coaching tree.
It was Joe Lohrig, Scott Simons, who was the DC at Joe Lohrig is the Oregon special teams coach. Scott Simons, SMU defensive coordinator. Carlos Lachlan, Ohio State running backs coach. Dillingham and Lanning, and again Silverfield, but that wasn't the playoff. That was just a playoff
team
last year. So I mean, and some of those aren't head coaches, so it's hard. Like if you're an assistant, I don't think you get a year on a coaching tree, right? You have to get a head job. But yeah, Lembo is part of that too. I mean, he's doing a decent job at Buffalo.
Got promoted, yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, it should be a fun year for him. And then anything else? I don't think so. I think that's kind of it for me this week in terms of games that I care about.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't. There's nothing like it's like a bunch of filler. Do I care about Baylor SMU? Not really. Do I care about Illinois Duke? Not really.
I care about beating the crap out of Georgia State. That's what I care about.
You scared, man.
No, Not at all.
You scared of TJ?
No.
You don't. You don't want to see TJ.
Because I don't think anything, to bring this thing all the way back home, I don't think anything compares to this three-headed monster we got at running back. DeRozier is day-to-day. We don't know if he'll play.
He ain't playing.
But he's firm. He don't need to play.
Well, I'm saying the three heads just became two.
Not for the rest of the season. The guy's day-to-day, he's perfectly fine. They didn't even rule him out of this game. What does that tell you? He's going to should be fine for the rest of the year. Point is, nothing compares to this in the AAC. Brendan Lewis, get used to it. Winning plays like Jalen Hurts. He can hit you both with his legs and through the air to his man Cortez.
Yep.
If they do what they're supposed to do this week, I'm going to fall more in love with this team.
Yep. I respect that.
So, again, we're on the path to 3-0. Coming back home for Arkansas, let's stay on it.
I know.
That's my singular focus. That's my priority focus in college football this weekend.
I know some guys that play the under on this game, by the way. They think Memphis is an under team. So,
They didn't stop. They didn't stop Ole Miss last week. What they can do is run the ball. I guess they could take the ball up from our offense in terms of some long drives with the run,
mm-hmm.
and maybe lower that number.
But they think.
But I expect points, John.
You're like the.
What did I tell you before the season? We're gonna be explosive in a different way.
Yeah, but Silverfield will be taking his foot off the gas though. Bro.
I know, and what I need is that was FCS. Now I need to see it up a level.
Like Silverfield, like that was one of the things that Norvell was elite at, right? Like he would just run that bitch up. He would just, like if it was 42-0 going to third. It was going to be 64-0 by the end of the game. And Silverfield would be 42-0 going to third. It's going to be about 45-0, maybe 45-3. It's just not – he just doesn't – I want that –
I mean, that ain't
– I want to run over.
Okay.
Roadkill, bro.
I know you have high expectations for
him. Bro, that's a throttle.
He covered the number.
He did.
And he's going to cover this week.
He did. So you got the over and Memphis covering.
I was wrong on them last year. I'm not going to be wrong.
That's
again.
The Jay Smoove.
They flipped me.
That's the Jay Smoove Petrol parlay of the weekend. Memphis -13.5.
Yeah.
And the over, 57.5.
Feeling pretty good about it. Now, I've been as terrible as John to start the year. So.
Nobody's been as bad as me, bro. Nobody has been. Like, the Ipe Mizuhara could not have the weekend I had, bro. I feel like him. Like, just take me to prison. I need to go to jail for these bets. All right? Yeah. I should go to prison for the over bet last night.
I just hope Matthew signed off that he's not hearing you guys talk about prison and criminals.
I think he's aware, man.
He is.
He's aware.
He understands.
I like Brad draws a hard line. If you commit a crime, you are a criminal.
It's very true.
You are a criminal.
By definition, go look it up.
Now, can he redeem himself?
They hate that, too. They actually hate that about me when I do that.
Like, I think the redemption for Brad, it started in the interview.
No, it starts with acknowledging that you're a criminal. But if you can't, I will tell you this. I listened to that interview. He still has a gambling addiction.
Oh, Brad says he's still got it.
I heard it. Like, he didn't give up on his family yet. I'm like, bro, alcohol goes out of the house when we're an alcoholic, dog.
Well, I think it's one of those things that,
he's addicted still, John.
He'll always be addicted.
No doubt about it. But you got to get the gambling out of the house. You got to get the booze out of the house in case of an alcoholic.
I think that's the issue with gambling is, like, how do you get it out? Because it's just there on your phone, right?
You got to figure that out.
But I do think that, you may always be an addict. But I think you need to take the weekend, and I think you need to consider what a criminal can do to redeem thyself in your eyes.
I think his 8 months will help him. He can lubricate pretty good in those 8 or 9 months.
I think you were betting with him, and you got your ass kicked.
Me and Pete. Can you imagine Brad Carson betting with that guy? He's like, hey, Pete, hold on. I got Brad Carson from Memphis.
He's worse.
The biggest square in the world.
That's amazing. And by the way, the biggest square in the world was a winner in the NBA playoffs. He would have kicked you out of his book.
Yeah.
He would have kicked you out for all that winning. You
probably would have. Yeah.
What did he finish up, like 7 units or something? Something like that?
Something like that.
But I would just say, like, yes, you are a criminal. He pleaded guilty. He's going to do his time. And when he comes out, it sounds – I mean this sincerely. And I mean this is for anybody, right? If you are intending to become a productive member of society, right, and do right by people – you're redeemed to me.
Like, oh, I agree with that. I don't disagree with that. I don't disagree with that.
Right, but you don't talk about Michael Vick like he's a criminal, though, because you like it. You like the way he played quarterback.
No, he was a criminal. He's a reformed criminal, and he's a head coach now for Norfolk State.
Yep. All right, what defines criminal? Felony? Can a misdemeanor? Like,
when you plead guilty to having a illegal book, you are a criminal.
I'm just trying to find out where we draw. Like, what about if it's just like a little misty?
If you go to jail, you're a criminal.
Forever.
No, you are a reformed criminal, but you're a criminal. Yeah, you can call it what you want, bro.
I'm going to have to put it in my...
It's the wildest thing that we don't call it like it is, dog.
No, I think it's not about calling it like it is. It's just like...
It's the weirdest thing to me.
A reformed criminal is like, you could just say that...
You know what they do in Alcoholic Anonymous? What they do? They go, are you an alcoholic? And they go, yes, I'm an alcoholic. They don't go, you know, you reformed alcoholic... They usually, because what you're trying to get through it. Right?
Right, but you're not as predisposed. Well, we can settle
it's,
this.
It's semantics, off but the air. He's a criminal.
But I think, like, you know, you can not be predisposed necessarily, depending on the crime, to commit a crime.
I'm
again,
fascinated
right?
with people who won't call it like it is. I just think that's where I'm at.
It's all about branding, right? It's like, I don't want to, that's not how I define you, right? Now, if you kill my family, you're going to be a criminal.
But if you just,
I don't even know where to start, but I don't want to define
I hear what
you.
You're saying. I understand what you're saying, John.
Yeah.
I just tend to call it like it is. You know what I'm saying?
And that's your prerogative. There's no question. Part of the podcast is going to join us on the other side. We'll talk to him about Memphis basketball. He was out there last night at a party. He was part of that record crowd, Jason. He wasn't there covering the game. He was there as a fan.
Love that.
Parthu Padhyay, who the Tigers, the alum of a school the Tigers whooped the asses of.
Let's see who he was rooting for.
Let's see. He'll join us on the other side. Jason and John, are you trying to film ESPN? Bill Belichick is the GOAT. 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 Hubert Davis. Parthu Padhyay is a proud alum of North Carolina who I think need to be investigated. For their misappropriation of NIL funds up there. You guys have a combined $40 million in NIL, and what do you really have to show for it? Man. You want to be introduced to North Carolina like they're up there doing something.
That's the unofficial theme song of my home state, man. Raise up, Petey Pablo. Still proud to be from North Carolina. Still
let me
proud
ask, let me ask you, let me
alum.
Let me ask you a serious question,
despite
man.
That ass whooping on Monday.
I want to come to you as a man.
For sure.
When you go on with Greg Gaston,
uh-huh.
which you love to do, that's does he introduce you to this song, man?
No, but they have like a pre-mixed theme song for me. Like they had me pick a song, and they've got the little, and now, Parthu Padhyay,
but so you come
Tigers
in here,
basketball.
You come in here every week, and you request a different song to Brad, and we happily play it for you.
I appreciate that, man. I like this.
But where's the loyalty, man? I mean, where is it?
What do y'all need me to do?
We just need you to be exclusive, man.
Exclusive.
This is it, man. This is all you... Are you getting paid over there?
I'm not getting paid over there, nor am I... Yeah, no. I'm not getting paid.
look, man. This is your home right here, all right? Every single week, we're going to give you... You want to pick a song? No problem. We can have Brad do a little voiceover. Would that
we can take care of anything you want.
Would that make you happy?
That would be a good start.
I'm mostly joking. I want you to do whatever you want to do, man. I'm just saying the accommodations that we're always happy to make, you know... It's only the Jason and John show. Only the Jason and John show. All right, you were out there last night at the Memphis Women's Soccer game. And did it feel like a record-breaking crowd?
It did, man. Like, even I got there like 6:30. The game started at 7, and there were already people, several people. Like, the bleachers were full at 6:30. Like, it was standing room only. Folks were pulling out the fold-out chairs, the coolers, whatever it may be.
Yeah.
And it was a vibe, man.
Weather was good?
Weather was beautiful. A little muggy, but, you know, not bad at all.
Yeah.
And by the time that game started, man, like, I don't think I tweeted any pictures, but it was a full soccer stadium.
Gotcha.
2,000 plus.
And
indeed.
Did it feel like Memphis should have won? With just being there watching?
Yeah, I wouldn't say that. I saw your text. So, like, in the first half, Tennessee was the aggressor.
Okay.
And I don't think the shots on goal or the stats really showed it, but Tennessee... was controlling possession. I'd like to see what the time of possession was for the first half. But in the second half, North Carolina, Memphis.
Yeah, this
ooh,
guy. This
slipping
guy.
Up, man.
Here
slipping
can't
up.
Help
slipping
himself.
Up. Memphis.
They beat North Carolina already.
Tennessee
beat North Tennessee Carolina.
Oh, Memphis did not beat
yes.
North Carolina? Okay,
Tennessee
got
yes.
Okay.
I got Carolina on my mind, man. Oops.
That's all right.
No, but Memphis kind of was the aggressor in that second half and kind of flipped the script. So, yeah, I think the Tigers had plenty
evenly
of chances.
Match game.
To, evenly match game, yeah. for sure.
Well, maybe they'll get a rematch. Maybe they'll see him in the NCAA tournament.
That'd be awesome, man.
I think Jordan Hudson's got your head mixed up. It's like she's got Bill mixed up back there.
She's got Bill mixed up for sure.
Now, this latest thing where we're not allowed, let's clear me up, we're not allowing the Patriots, the Pats, have you seen this story?
I saw
Bill
that.
Is not
yeah.
allowing
allow
Pats scouts to come.
What's up with that?
How is this not embarrassing?
It is embarrassing. I mean,
okay,
it's,
I'm just making
it's a clown
sure.
show.
And it will continue to be that, or do you have you know, optimism that it will improve?
It depends what your definition of like improvement is. Like, I think they'll win seven games, right? Like, they've got to.
And in terms of expectations and where they were for you before the season with Bill Belichick as your coach, where would that, you know, where would that put you? Would you be ready to move on after a year? You're saying, oh, let's do this again.
I don't think you can move on after a year after all of this. Like, you've kind of, if you're North Carolina, you've kind of, you know, made your bed here, right? Like, you've hired this legendary coach and spent all this money and invested time and been in the news. I think you got to see it through for at least another season. But it just shows you that, like, you know, even the greatest football coach of all time arguably can't just jump into college football and wave a magic wand and make it all work, you know?
No.
It's a different world. It's not the NFL. It's different.
Yeah, yeah, no question about that. I thought, and by the way, even in the NFL, he was terrible at the end of it.
You think so?
I don't think so. I know so. I mean, what did he do post-Brady? Nothing.
Not much.
Embarrassing.
Not much.
1985 offense in 2025. And the one thing that you think you can depend on and count on with Bill Belichick is, like, discipline defensively. And they didn't even have that. You are in for it. You are in for
48,
it.
48, man. They got 48 hung on them.
By
Chapel
an unranked
Hill.
TCU team TCU. At the house, bro.
Yikes.
20.
With Michael Jordan and
Michael
Julius
bro,
Peppers.
Michael Jordan ain't coming back.
Lawrence Taylor. You know, like,
he ain't coming back.
Carolina
though.
Goats were in the building.
Mia was there, was she not? She's North Carolina.
Mia
yeah,
Hamm.
Mia
Hamm. I didn't
sorry.
Even know
Mia
Hamm was a North Carolina yeah. alum yep. until yep. this game. And they ain't never coming back, bro. I would never show my face again. Don't ask me
That's
for
tough.
No money.
That's tough.
This a joke. You got this old ass man with this
24-year-old girl.
Yeah, with this bloodsucker as a girlfriend. And this is, all right, fine. I'll take the PR hit. No problem. It's Bill Belichick. He's the GOAT.
Introduce you to a real college football coach. His name's Ryan Silverfield.
And
you
then,
ever heard of him?
Y'all come out with that?
No, you know what's funny, though? Mac Brown.
Nothing's funny about
is
it.
Is speaking Monday
it's
at the
pathetic.
Memphis Touchdown Club. Did y'all know that?
No.
So Mac Brown is going to be in Memphis. And I hope to go over there and chat with him about what he thinks of all this mess.
Oh, he's
loving it.
He was mailing it in, too. He had Drake manned into a damn thing with him.
I covered Mac's first season back. That was my senior year of college, 2019. That was a fun time, man.
Been a while since he was relevant. You know, you guys are really cornering the market on old-ass coaches that don't matter anymore.
Old-ass washed coaches.
I mean, that's crazy.
That's tough.
Mac Penny, Brown
a
Bill.
Penny had a team out there last night, too, didn't he?
Yeah, whole team was
for
out
the
there.
Soccer match.
Yeah, whole team was out there. Penny himself was out there, and Penny stayed till the end. He was,
man,
he was there
Penny,
watching
bro.
Every bit
I
of
love
it, man.
That guy, man. He just supports.
He was actually glued. He was watching it.
He supports
wasn't just
his
there
ass
for
off.
Photo ops.
He does.
Man.
Like he
and makes
goes
sure
to
usually
stuff.
That the team is there.
Didn't he go to like a Memphis baseball game?
I don't know about that.
I think he went to a Memphis.
Okay.
I think he was at one of them, like
good
a big one, like maybe the old.
He can help that. I mean, we've been trying for years with them. With
no, I know he can't help it, but I'm just saying he went.
No,
I think he went. You know, he can't
participation.
Yeah, I mean, like if I was Penny, man, don't ask me to do nothing. Don't ask me to do nothing. I ain't coming to nothing. How about y'all give me more money so I don't have to sign a rope, who I saw. Who
good dude. A rope.
He seems like a good guy, but I mean.
He's a great guy.
Shouldn't be on the damn roster. Dude was at Columbia.
He's 6'11".
I don't
with
care.
With a ball handle and a jumper. Like, come on.
No.
Project, bro. Project. You can have projects in
there's
2025.
There's only one project
projects.
That ever works in Memphis, and it's Pat. The rest that come through here from the Tiger, they don't pan out, man. They don't. What?
Well, dude, this team's got a bunch of projects. Let's count them.
That's
rope
right.
for rope, Simon Majoke, Daniel Vera
Tuck,
redshirting. Sila's gonna play, man. I'm saying it again.
He's
Sierra
a project,
Sila
though. He ain't no damn
is going to be
sure
a
thing.
Part of the 10-man rope. He's gonna play.
I mean, Aaron Bradshaw's a project. Let's call it what it is.
Not as much of a project as a rope or rope or
no.
guys or
something. No. Let's be clear. A rope is a dissertation to graduate kind of project. All right. Aaron Bradshaw is like, we got to do a science project. It's due Friday.
For sure.
We can see that's coming together.
Different types of projects.
For sure. But no, a rope is like, we got to get the HELOC out. It's a real renovation project type of.
Hey, at least they have size now, right? They got size.
It's size, but it's meaningless. It's like it's not good size. It's just size for the sake
stash
of having
away,
size.
Stash away for future.
Again, yes. That's just not Penny. I mean, we're in year whatever of this.
Yeah, how many guys has Penny stashed away?
None. Never. Doesn't happen.
Jonathan Lawson.
He transferred.
No, he redshirted and then he played that second
season. And he was
played
a Memphis
meaningful
guy.
Minutes on
he was
a good
Memphis,
Memphis Tigers team.
He was a Memphis
about
guy.
19 a game. I
yeah.
thought it was enough to keep him,
yeah.
but it wasn't.
But he was a Memphis guy, so it almost doesn't even count in my opinion.
Anybody else? Is that it?
Yeah, I mean, they brought in, I mean,
I think that might be it.
Look, this is what season is this for Penny? Is this year seven or
year
eight?
This is year eight.
This is year eight.
No, the other guys that stayed were the East guys, like Malcolm and Alex. They weren't like
developmental guys.
There are a lot of things that Coach Hardaway does really well, right?
No doubt.
But we don't have to pretend in year eight like developing raw prospects is one of them.
No, he's more of a guy like you've got to.
He will take you from good to great.
Like Dane
That's
Danger, right?
Do.
Dane
yes.
Danger. Good.
Yes. He will
role
take,
player at Illinois.
And he was
it's
a
great.
Highly ranked
it's
player coming out of high
level.
School, right? Like he was
right.
I mean, so
you got to have something there. For
if
him
you
to
have,
work.
And I think that's a real skill, right? If you have a foundation as a player and you're a top 50
He'll
guy,
elevate you.
Was maybe wayward. That's exactly right. He will. But if you're starting from nothing, he will deem you as. I don't mean this like directly, but you will not be worth his time. Like he will not redeem you if you are in a rope. It's not going to happen.
And it's hard in this era, you know. Where
I was going to say, you can't win with them dudes anymore.
No, you can't.
You
got to
win
have
now.
Time.
That's
exactly right.
It's all
right.
about winning now, now,
That's
now,
exactly
now,
right.
now. Right?
Because some other here's the problem, right? Like some other team will like there's so many bottom feeding type of teams that will see those guys on the ends of Memphis's bench and they
say,
will just give them
6,
anything. They will give them anything.
Yeah, let's grab
and
him.
And Memphis will give them nothing because they don't need them. And so they will make $100 to go to somewhere else.
For sure.
And suck there. But they'll at least have the money, right, for doing it. So that's why it's like I get you have to fill the spots, you know, you have to, but it's like my expectations for these guys is negative.
Now there are guys that I wish Penny had seen it through with, like Jonathan Pierre. Remember, like he didn't play much.
I agree
sporadically.
With that.
I know there
I
was other
that.
Issues there that we don't have to get into. But then he went to Belmont and hooped. Right?
He had, but again, it's like was that the level? Was that
for
you know?
Sure.
I mean,
no,
I,
for sure.
You know, because one guy everybody loved coming out of high school was Sharon Font. And
yeah.
And he
I mean,
and he stuck.
The
he stayed.
DR, he was like holding his own.
Right. And again,
18, 19 year old kid holding his own against grown men in the DR. Like, that was impressive.
If you can't play for Penny, you won't play for Penny. Like that's just the end of it. It's like whether you're a freshman or not. Camden gone. Anu gone. It's like the patience.
Forgot about those guys.
And I have no problem with that fundamentally. Like you don't have time to wait in the college basketball in 2025.
Not 2025.
You know what I'm saying? Like you just have to build the roster and move on. Like so, but you know that's why these guys like I don't wish ill on them at all. But they I hope they understand the score here. If they can't get on the floor today, they will never get on the floor at Memphis.
That's tough.
I mean that's just the truth. Like I know that Penny's not saying that to those guys. But and it may like for a rope, it may not matter to him. Like I'll just come to Memphis, get some you know, the best development you could possibly get.
Exactly, and play somewhere.
And just see where the cards
obviously,
fall.
Exactly, play somewhere overseas or wherever it may be. I wonder why he filled all 15. Right, like his past 2 years, he's left one spot open at least.
Yeah.
Like 2 years ago it was Naquan Tomlin midseason. Last year it was Dante Harris. This year he's filled, you know, with even more spots. Right, you go from 13 to 15, and he's filled all of them instead of leaving a vacancy or two. In case somebody becomes available during that winter break. So that's interesting, too.
Yeah. Well, I think he probably feels like he got burned, you know? I mean, that Naquan Tomlin thing, although I was a fan of it and an advocate for it, I mean, it just ruined the team chemistry.
I don't think it was just that. There was already stuff that was.
That's true.
Bubbling, boiling.
But
it
contributed negatively.
I mean, yeah.
Even though Naquan Tomlin is like a dog.
Yeah. And seems like a good dude from, you know, outside looking in.
But, you know, that's Penny, right? Like, he kind of reacts very extremely. We don't have any guards last year when the tournament starts.
Let's build a team of all guards. Yeah, exactly.
Now you can handle bigs.
Yeah.
But, you know, what do they start practice? Have they already started practice? Yeah.
They started
August 27th or something like that.
Yeah, and I forget what the hours are. It's very limited.
Right.
They don't start officially until, I think, late September, early October, like around the time Happy Hour Hoops is. That's kind of the official kickoff, right, of the regular season.
Do you think they are preparing to not have Sincere Parker?
I don't think so.
Okay. Do you think they should prepare to not have Sincere Parker?
No, I don't think they should. I mean, just I'm taking Arthur Horn, his attorney, at face value. Like, we spoke to him yesterday. Obviously, that third court appearance got pushed back again. Or not again, for the first time, got pushed back to October 2nd, right? And we asked him, like, is there any expectation that this would carry on into the season, right? Like, if this goes to trial, would the trial be scheduled for, like, March or April? Like, well after the season ends? And he said no. He said that, you know, he's optimistic, and so is Judge Greg Gilbert, that this can be resolved before November 8th. That's when the season starts officially,
right?
Against San Francisco at home.
Big one.
So, it's a big one.
It's a good game.
I guess so.
I mean, it's not a name brand, but, you know, that's a top 100 KenPom team.
Is it?
I think so, right? I mean, it usually is by the end of the season. Wasn't it this past year?
Yeah, I think
they
like
lost
fringe.
Some guys
yeah,
though.
They're
going to stink.
Lost a lot of guys.
Yeah.
But no, I think they expect to have a resolution, or they're optimistic for a resolution before November. And yeah, I think that's where that's at.
Dude, San Francisco is ranked ahead of Memphis at Torvik while you over there talking.
Really?
Yeah.
No way.
He don't respect the Dons. Did you catch that? I mean, I think that's bulletin board material for the Dons.
Yeah, they're clipping this and aggregating it as we speak.
San Francisco is 59th at Torvik.
Oh, yeah, he's got Memphis low. He's got him below South Florida. He's got him below UNLV.
Yeah, 70.
He doesn't believe in this Memphis roster.
Clearly, oh, they went up one spot from 73rd to 72nd. Memphis did.
That's actually outrageous that Memphis is below
72nd. Below the likes of Georgetown, DePaul,
all right, perfect.
Northwestern,
so if that's,
South Florida.
All I'm saying is, Bart, if that is true, if this is truly...
Dude, y'all got to get Bart on.
I've tried. He's very private.
I got to get Bart
He's
on.
A very private
story
guy.
Or something, yeah.
Make Memphis an underdog in that game. Go ahead. Like if you have them 14 spots ahead of Memphis.
You just want free money.
Just, I mean, 59 versus 73. Make them an underdog. We're driving. I'm calling Boyer. I'm like, hey man, you still got any of those accounts, man?
Don't tempt him.
Let me get one. Let me get a quick 5K pop on Memphis.
Utah State is also ahead of Memphis. Speaking of,
yeah, that's going to be a tough
Tigers
opponent.
Now,
that's there this year, right?
Yeah, that's a rowdy place to play, man.
Yeah, I think
Logan,
Memphis,
Utah.
I think Memphis will be more of an underdog in that game than people are ready for. I think that they could be like a 5 to 6 point dog in that game.
They got the 47th best offense.
And that, like you said, that environment's going
to
be nuts.
Yeah, raucous, like mid-February.
Yeah, and they're going to be so like new to that, Memphis is, because they'll have been in the AAC. Like
from UTSA,
yeah, it's
East
a whole
Carolina. All
now,
of a sudden, oh wow!
I actually think Penny is good in those games. You know, like when
Absolutely.
They're, you know, I think he's a great big game coach. I know people would push back on that because of the tournament, but I mean, I throw out last year's Colorado State loss. I honestly do. You didn't have freaking Tyrese Hunter, bro.
Missing 2 year point guards, second string point guard.
You got to start Baraka Okoji, who's at Mercer now. I'm in the group chat with these people. They're like, Baraka Okoji is good for no, he sucks
for Mercer. He's good.
No, he's not.
He'll be good.
You're either a good player, or you're not, and he is not.
You don't think so?
Absolutely.
Defensive. He's a hound dog defensively. Like he's a, you know.
I mean, I don't know, bro. I never. What makes you a good player? It's like, is it contextual? I mean, to me, it's like if you can't
it is
make
contextual.
It.
It's contextual based on a team's needs and wants and fit. It's all contextual. I mean, there
you
are guys who are just good players or bad players, but there's also guys who are like, hey, how does this fit? What does he bring?
Man,
does he make us better?
The Baraka Okoji PR team is unbelievable. That's crazy.
You saw Hound Dog. I saw a hacker. Guy, I didn't see any pristine defender. We were looking for that for him.
Scattered spider Chinese hacker, bro.
People forget how he played pretty well against UAB in that AAC title game in Fort Worth.
I do like, forget
he,
that.
He helped, I mean,
do
look
forget.
At the stat line.
Yeah, I just remember Dane.
Sabotage your season walking up behind Tyrese.
That
didn't make a
good.
Damn bit of sense.
That
I'm excited about this season because I know nothing about this team and other than, you know, Doug, who I do like that these guys have embraced the city, it feels like.
Yeah.
And I'm really hopeful for my guy Aaron Bradshaw that he comes in and is good. I'm a little worried about that.
Well, I think he'll have to be like, he's going to be the third or fourth option, right? Like, let's just
sure.
go to the list. You
sure.
got Doug McDaniel, Sincere Parker, and Hassan
yeah.
Abdul-Hakim.
Yeah.
I would say, who
yep.
all are slotted for more shots than Aaron Bradshaw. So Aaron Bradshaw, at best, he's your fourth offensive option. He can be the fourth option on a Memphis
team
in the
be,
American
He probably
conference.
Won't even be fourth, honestly, because I would have like a guy like Curtis Givens probably going to score more than he will.
Really?
Yeah. Y'all sleep, bro.
Man, I wrote a story recently, and I'm self-plugging here, but about Torvik's projections and how
yeah.
it all broke down.
Yeah.
I forgot where Bradshaw was. He wasn't that low.
Yeah.
Right? I'm looking at it right now. Let's see. So Torvik had Bradshaw
as a
the third leading scorer.
Yeah, but Curtis Gibbons right behind him.
Curtis Gibbons right behind him at 9.8 points per game projected, and Bradshaw 11.1.
It'll be interesting to see how this all shakes out. But anyway, man, we're kind of up against it. I wish we could do this forever.
Yeah, man.
Thanks for the good work, as always. Thanks for coming
it.
In here.
Good luck, Tar Heel.
Yeah, you're going to need it. Y'all got Hubert. I mean,
yeah,
Bill Belichick making Hubert Davis look like a snack right now.
Yeah, they got to reallocate that money back to the
no doubt.
Back
no
to
doubt.
The Dean Smith Center.
He is part of the pod, yeah. I read him at DailyMemphian.com. We'll come back, wrap this up. Jason and John, I'm trying to film you. The Live Love Group at the Real Estate Agency will be your best friend. They're going to help you price your home, sell your home, most importantly, and get the most amount of money for it. That's what they do every single day. They are truly the best. They know the market. They know what people are looking for, and they can be your guiding light throughout the entire process. But you got to reach out, soldatlivelovememphis.com.
901-625-5200. Jennifer Carstensen's done a great job building a wonderful team and a wonderful business, but it's really been built on one premise, and that's making her home, Memphis, a better place. You do that by getting folks out of renting situations into home ownership situations, and ones that are good for them, ones that will change their life. That's what she did for me back in 2018, and she's done it in every market. She'll do it right now for you in 2025. Just give her a call. Let her get to work for you. She'll show you how good she is. 901-625-5200. You'll love them. It's the Live Love Memphis, Live Love Nash, and Live Love DeSoto teams at the Real Estate Agency.
All right, we're back. Jason and John, on Eternal FM, ESPN. Thanks to Parth Upadhyay for joining us on the show today. Jason, we will have NFL football tonight. I do expect to hear from you throughout the competition. As always, with these standalone games, it's just a tradition that we have.
You're checking in less, but you can check in. We have a responsibility this evening. We'll be picking up Les Smith from the airport.
Oh, my.
He's coming back in from Belize at about 9 o'clock on Delta. And so in the middle of that, I will have to take a break. But you keep me updated and everything else.
I will, yeah.
As we welcome Les Smith back home to Memphis.
Oh, back home.
Yes, that's tonight at the airport. Picking him up at 9, 8.
Nice.
9 o'clock. It's like 8:57 the flight comes in.
So when you say back home, is this like a permanent?
Yeah, it looks like
nice.
It. Looks like, wow. Looks like old Les Smith is back. So exciting evening ahead
that's awesome.
Me. But my brother and I are extremely excited to welcome him back.
Dude, that is awesome.
Yeah, absolutely.
He's been gone for how long?
About 10 years.
Yeah.
Pretty much
wow.
CJ's whole life, they decided to move on down to Belize. Of course, he's lost his wife since they moved down there. It's just him down there. And
right.
My brother and I have been, man, come back home. You know, come on, finish it out with your sons. And
that's amazing.
That is hopefully what starts tonight.
Yeah.
And your grandchildren.
Well, that'll be a blessing.
Yeah.
That'll
Looking
be a
forward
blessing
to it.
For sure. Especially for young CJ. No
Absolutely.
Doubt about that, man.
Absolutely.
My favorite memories when I think about my family, my grandfather.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Yeah.
I think, and I hope that CJ will have that.
Appreciate
you know,
that,
as
brother.
Well. So, good stuff. Glad to hear that. It's going to do it for us today. Thanks to Parth Upadhyay for joining us on the show. Thanks to Matthew Boyer for joining us, and thanks to Anthony Sane. Jeffrey and Company up next. Don't miss it. For Jason, I'm John. We're gone.